This psalm is all about giving God glory, because God is worthy of all glory. Amen? It doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in, God is worthy of all glory. And let's not forget that. And that is the emphasis of this psalm this morning. So we're going to go through the entire psalm. I think it's 13 verses, Psalm 96, and then walk through it together and hopefully learn some things that would help us in our Christian walk. Psalm 96, beginning in verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Declare His glory. That's our title. Let's pray. Lord, we are blessed to assemble this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, and to assemble around His precious and powerful and preserved word. We pray that now, Lord, we would honor You by listening to what the Holy Spirit has to say to each one of us through Your word, and we would be responsive. And Lord, that this would all bring honor and glory to You. We love You, and we pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Declare His glory. You know, the Bible, when you talk about the number one attribute of God, we all understand that is God's holiness. But when it comes to the number one thing that we owe God, it's glory. The Bible says that even the world itself, His creation, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare what? The glory of God. The glory of God. The glory of God, we're told in Psalm 104, shall endure forever. And we're going to spend forever in heaven giving glory to God. And He wants us to declare His glory and to give Him glory down here. And He is worthy of it, of course, which we'll talk about. But there's just one verse I want to show you quickly in Exodus 40. Now, Exodus 40 is where the commandments had been given to Israel, and then God had the congregation of Israel to assemble around the tabernacle. And for the first time in the history of mankind, God Himself came down and His glory filled the tabernacle. Notice Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. It says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. My friend, if you're a born-again Christian, you are God's tabernacle. Think about that. And the day that you got saved, God and the person of the Holy Ghost moved in. And the glory of the Lord filled you. And now, each of us has a responsibility to declare that glory to the world. because we are possessors of that glory in the person of the Holy Ghost. When we get to heaven, if you go to Revelation 21, and then we'll get started on our passage, but when we get to heaven, and God allows us access to the city of God, the New Jerusalem, I want you to see something about God's glory here in Revelation 21, verse 23. It says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof." The glory of God will be the light of the city of God, where we will spend forever. Think about that. So to our passage this morning, God reveals His will for His children. Essentially, why are we here? Once we're born again Christians, we're going to heaven. The devil can't change that. Nothing can change that. So why are we still here? Why are we still here fighting against sin, fighting against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the prince of darkness? Why? Why does he leave us here to have all these trials and tribulations? And the answer to that is found in this psalm, and that is to give him glory so that others can find him as well. Is it just me or is it a bit warm in here? Should we turn on the air? Is that okay? Maybe 20 or 21. Somebody willing to grab the thing on my office door and do that? Thank you, Roy. Appreciate that. So verse 1, Psalm 96. Let's see what God wants us to do. Look at that first word. Oh, sing. We just did that together. And oftentimes, among Bible-believing conservative churches, it's a bit too minimalized because it's so overemphasized in other churches. But we are to sing. But look what it says. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Isn't that good? A new song. Now, those of us that weren't saved as children, we have a lot of other songs in there, don't we? They don't go away, do they? That's the thing about music. I mean, you can not have heard it for 20 years and it comes over the supermarket soundtrack and it's, you know it like that. How does that happen? That's how music works. But now if you're a Christian, we're to sing a new song. Amen? A song that lifts him up. A song that's about his glory. A song that's about his power and his honor. David said over in Psalm 40, "He hath put a new song in my mouth." And he said, "Many shall see it and shall trust the Lord." We're to sing a new song. In Hebrews 2:12, God says, "In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." We are here to sing. And one of the ways that we can bring glory to God is to sing praises about Him and to Him. And I've often said, I challenge you to open up the hymn book and find one of the hymns that doesn't lift God up. That's what they're for. They're for praising God. And so, first of all, we're to sing. Second of all, verse 2, it says, "Bless His name." We're to bless the Lord. We're to be constantly giving everything to Him. Because it's all His anyway, isn't it? You know, David said, well, look at Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. In this matter of blessing the Lord. Actually, one of the songs that we sing is Psalm 103, verse 1. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That song. So notice 103, look at verses 1 and 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Verse 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." We are here to not only sing, which brings God glory, but we are here to bless the Lord. Even in the New Testament, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 2:18, "Grow in the Lord," "grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever." Amen. So we're here to bless the Lord. We're here to sing to the Lord. But look at verse 2 as well. It says, "Show forth His salvation from day to day." Show forth His salvation. Look down at verse 13 of Psalm 96. He says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. My friend, we are here to show his salvation. The world needs to see that we are different because we have God. Amen? And what better time than when these trials come to show the world that Christians respond to trials differently. We respond with trials by just praising God and trusting Him. Not by running in fear. And not by acting on fear like the rest of the world. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Matthew 5:16, that they may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to show His salvation through how we behave. Paul says in Philippians 1:27, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your life be a reflection of the fact that you're one of God's own, which brings Him glory. And so the world should be able to see the kindness in Christians, how they're kind to one another, how they're kind to the lost, how we handle trials, how we respond when these things happen. They should be able to see it. And then, of course, that gives us an opportunity to follow verse 3, which says, what? Declare. Declare. We're to sing, we're to bless, we're to show, but we're to declare what? His glory, where does it say to do it? Among the heathen. Now, a lot of people don't like that word heathen. But before you were Christian, you were heathen. So there. We were all heathen at one point. And I know the word gets redefined today, but in the biblical sense of the definition, it's those who are not God's children. Those are the heathen. God says He wants us to declare them. He wants us to declare what? His glory. And this psalm revealed a lot of that. Notice he says there His wonders. It says in verse 4, the Lord is great. In verse 5, it says the Lord made the heavens. In verse 6, honor and majesty, strength and beauty. In verse 8, that glory is due. In verse 9, it says in the beauty of His holiness. In verse 10, that He reigns and He shall judge in righteousness. And then in verse 13, that He will judge with righteousness and with truth. We are here to declare with our mouth the glory of God. The heavens already do. We talked about that in Psalm 19:1. They declare the glory of God. But God wants us to declare it. And if you look at Isaiah 42:8, God makes a very interesting statement about His glory here in Isaiah 42:8, if you want to turn there. We're to sing about it. We're to bless Him. We're to show His salvation. But we are to declare His glory. Look at Isaiah 42:8. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. Isn't that good? No one else is allowed to have my glory, He says. Not man, not idols, nothing. The heavens don't declare their own glory, do they? They declare God's glory. The firmament doesn't show its glory. It shows God's glory. And if we are God's recreation, we're not here to show our glory. We're here to declare His glory. Because He's the one that recreated us in Christ Jesus when He saved us from our sins. So we are here to declare His glory. Before Jesus went back to heaven, He assembled all the disciples together, all His followers, and He said, I want you to what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go wherever you can and declare that our God, our Creator, is glorious. He's so glorious, He loved us enough to die at Calvary and rise again on our behalf and offers us eternal life through what He did. That's glorious. The glorious gospel of Christ, as Paul calls it. So number one, we're to sing. Number two, we're to bless. Number three, we're to show His salvation. Number four, we're to declare His glory. Look at verse 4. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Number five, we're to praise Him. I hear too much complaining going on among Christians. about where we find ourselves. Stop complaining and start praising. Because God is not surprised by anything that's happening. Those 10,000 Nigerians that have been killed in the past 5 years, was that God's will that they die? It was. God allowed it. They're in heaven now. They're martyrs for Jesus Christ. And I hear Christians going around, all they do is complain, complain, complain. Listen, God knows what He's doing. He's sovereign, as we just read down in verse 10. God knows exactly what He's doing and why He's doing it. So don't complain. You're going to heaven. Instead, praise. Amen? Because He's worthy of praise. And that would be a good exercise, wouldn't it? Every time we're tempted to complain, praise the Lord. And you'll find your heart will be blessed a lot more. Look at Psalm 150, verse 6. God did not save you to complain. We talked about this recently, but the thing that angered the God the most with the Israelites was their constant complaining. Because when we complain, what are we saying? Well, God doesn't know what He's doing. God is mean. God is mistreating me. And none of those things are true. Psalm 150, the last verse of this longest book in the Bible, what does it say? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So David wrapped it all up. He said, here's the conclusion statement. Let everything that can breathe praise the Lord. Amen? We're here to praise the Lord. So praise the Lord. Let's just keep praising the Lord. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 15 quickly, if you would. God calls it a sacrifice when we offer praise unto Him. A sacrifice that He finds pleasing and acceptable. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We're here to declare His glory. We're here to sing. We're here to bless Him, to show His salvation, and to praise Him. But it goes further. Verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Now we know the scriptures, but do we really stop and think about what they say? For example, 1 Corinthians 10:31 is one of the songs that we sing. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the what? Glory of God. We're to be giving Him all glory through our lives. Not just through praising Him, but through our behavior. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 6, we know that as well. Verse 19, you're bought with a price. Right? It says, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You're bought with a price. Therefore, what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God says, you've been bought with a price, therefore, glorify God. Whatsoever you do, He says, bring glory to God. We're here to bring glory to God. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. How much glory is due unto the Creator of the universe who saved us from hell? All. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. So number 6 this morning is we are to give Him all that glory due unto His name through our entire existence. Number 7 is in verse 8 as well. He says, bring an offering and come into His courts. I like this verse. Now, whenever people see that word offering, they think it's only talking about money, but it's not. There's a lot of ways we can make offerings unto the Lord. 1 Peter says that we have, as a holy priesthood, we offer up spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. We just read in Hebrews 13 how the praise is a sacrifice. These are things that we can offer unto the Lord, praise and glory and honor. But I like what he says there, come into his courts. He says, one of the ways that you can glorify me is by obeying my command to assemble. Isn't that good? And David had a lot to say about this, didn't he? Of course, David had a lot to say about the glory of God. But he said in Psalm 84:10, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. In Psalm 122, verse 1, he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Four times the Apostle Paul says, when ye come together, not if ye come together, but when ye come together. So in other words, it's a given that you're to come together, not if you feel like it or whatever. Because if you look at Ephesians 3:21, one of the main purposes of the church, look at it, Ephesians 3:21, is you've got it to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. And when we assemble and when we serve in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and when we praise the Lord corporately and when we pray corporately and when we go out and witness to the lost and when we bring them to church and teach them the Bible and we baptize them, all of that brings glory to God. Ephesians 3:21, unto him, talking about Jesus Christ, be glory in the church. Isn't that good? By Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto him be glory in the church. David said, I want you to come into his courts. And the whole context is bringing glory to God. Even in the Old Testament, they understood this. Let's go to God's courts. Let's go to God's house and bring him glory. And that's why Paul commanded us to assemble. That's why Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So number 7 is to come. To come. Sometimes we can watch online, but that's not in the Psalms. Amen. In verse 9, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, in the past 50 years, the devil's been very crafty. And he's tricked Christians into thinking that worship is something that it isn't. Thinking that a rock concert is worship. But no, the Bible says that we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. And if we're worshiping God in the flesh, we're not worshiping God as he commanded us to. But not only should we worship God in the spirit in church, but this should be part of your daily alone time with God. Not just to read out a list and say, thanks God, I'll see you tomorrow. But to spend time worshiping the one who gave you everything. When you read the model prayer in Matthew 6, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with worship. When was the last time you were on your knees alone, as Jesus says in Matthew 6:6, in your closet, and you just took time to worship God, to praise God, and lift him up in the beauty of his holiness? That brings God glory. Why? I mean, think back to the original creation of man. God chose to make us, right? We didn't choose to make ourselves. God chose to make us. But why? Why did he make man in the first place? Well, you just study it out for fellowship. So that he had someone that could commune with him. That's why he made us in his image. He's a triune being. We're a triune being. And you study it out. He created us for fellowship. So he wants us to get alone with him and to fellowship with him. Amen? And that's not just reading a list of requests, but it's also worshiping him. Spending time in his word. Allowing his word to speak to you. But to worship him. That's number 8. Number 9, verse 9, fear. I like that word fear because it's not talking about fearing man, is it? It's talking about fearing God. What does that mean to fear God? Look at Hebrews 12:28, and we'll get the answer. And it's all through Proverbs, of course, as well. But The Bible says the fear of man actually brings a snare. Proverbs 29:25. When we fear man, it leads us in the wrong direction. That verse goes on to say, but safety is of the Lord. Amen? He that put us to trust in the Lord shall be safe. So we're not here to fear man, we're here to fear God. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Jesus said, fear not those which can kill the body. Fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Only God can do that. He's not talking about the devil. He's talking about himself. And we're not to fear the devil. We're not to fear man. We're to fear God. And that should rule our whole lives, as we studied recently in Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And all these verses about the fear of the Lord. God wants us to, as the apostles did in Acts, to walk in the fear of the Lord. And when we do, it brings him glory. So we are here to declare through our lips, through our behavior, through our daily devotions, through our church attendance, we are here to declare his glory. How much? The glory that's due his name. That's how much. So we're to sing. We're to bless him. We're to show his salvation. We're to declare it. We're to praise him. We're to give him all that glory that's due his name. We're to bring an offering and come into his courts. We're to worship him. And we're to live a life in the fear of the Lord. Declare it. That God is still on his throne. Amen. That's a saying my wife always had when the kids were growing up. God didn't die yesterday. She used to say that pretty much every day. But did God die yesterday? Or is he still on his throne? Is he still the ruler of the universe? And the one that saved us from hell? Yep, nothing's changed. And God's command to declare his glory hasn't changed either. Amen? That's why we're here. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word. Thank you for reminding us it's not.